Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Aleph, Chapter 21. We saw in the last class how the fact that all of the worlds, all the different parts of the soul, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, and the Shorish Neshama, all linked, is what allows a person to elevate his entire self. Because every part is connected to another part, which is a higher part, and therefore when he elevates his thoughts and his speech and his actions, so therefore he's able to elevate his entire self. And as a source for that, we brought the Gemara in Avodah Zorah, which says that the ox that Adam HaRishon brought, after he sinned, he brought a sacrifice. And the ox that he brought, its horns came before its hooves. And the question, what does that mean, the horns came before the hooves? I think any ox has the horns before the hooves, because the whole head sticks out. But the idea is that he was able, the horns, meaning the highest part, was the first part to be elevated, and the entire body followed all the way down to the hooves. That he was able to elevate the entire ox from the horns, which is the highest, to the hooves, which is the lowest part. And then he also brought another chazal, which says that I think it was Rabbi Bano who went into the Maris HaMachpel, and he saw the heels. He wasn't allowed to look at Adam HaRishon, but he did see the heels of Adam HaRishon, and he saw that they were shining like two suns. But not just like two suns, much, much brighter than any sun. It was a spiritual light that darkened any sun in comparison. So that's the idea that this order of purifying ourselves can purify the entire body, even the lowest part. Now, we're starting chapter 21, Perek Chof Aleph, and he writes as follows. V'zois teiris ha'odom. And this is the law of an Adam, of a person. That the time that he engages himself in learning Torah for the sake of the Torah, learning Torah for the sake of the right reason, for the sake of the Torah, for the sake of Hashem, lishmo lekayim kechol hakosuv bo, with intention to keep and fulfill everything that's written in the Torah, because that is the correct intention. We learn Torah and mitzvahs al menas lekayim. We don't learn Torah just as an intellectual exercise, but we learn Torah in order to fulfill the Torah. Matthias gufoim yiroisha ad raglov. So then he's able to purify himself, his body, from head to feet. Kamidra Shamzal. The Chazal saying, Brochas lama nismach olim lenecholim. Why does the Pasuk put tents next to rivers? And it learns as follows. Ma necholim malim sa'odami tu malatari. Just like rivers can elevate a person from contamination to purity. You know, the river is like the mikveh, and therefore by immersing himself in a mikveh, he purifies his whole body. Af ohalim, so to tents, which means maseches ohalim, learning the laws of tents. The laws of tents are those laws which deal with if a person's in a tent where there's a corpse in the same tent, so the entire space underneath the same roof all becomes contaminated. So by learning these very technical, almost dry rules, suddenly, if a person engages in Torah, he puts his whole head in the Torah, he's engaging in Torah. Similarly, engaging in Torah elevates a person from being liable to being meritorious. So we're comparing purifying yourself by immersing in a river to purifying yourself by immersing yourself in Torah. And that's possibly even to a greater degree do you purify yourself through Torah. Again, in Shadashu, like the sages say in Eruvin, Gavitaris Atmeim Mikveh. And just like it says about purifying those who are Tomei in a Mikveh, so the Pasuk says, Kol Besorei B'mayim, his entire flesh must be in the water. And as when you dip in a Mikveh, your entire body has to be submerged, even the tips of your hair, everything has to be in the water. Mayim Shekol Gufo Eile Behem. And from there also we learn the laws of mikveh, that the minimum size of a mikveh has to be enough water that you could actually cover your entire body at one time. Kach divei Torah, so too with words of Torah, called gufo shel adam oyle behem. A person should immerse his entire body into the Torah. And another remez here, which is linked to what we're saying, is shiaru chachomim amal amah barum shalish amos. We know that the shear of a mikveh is one amah, by one amah, width by breadth, which is about 60 centimeters by 60 centimeters, by 3 amas high, which is about 1.8 meters, right? That's about 6 foot high. So it's 2 by 2 by 6 feet. Hein, so that those 3 amas, those 3 arms lengths, parallel Hein Gimel Oilomis, they parallel three worlds. Nefesh, Ruach, and Hashem. The three Amas, which is the height of the Mikveh, parallels Nefesh, Ruach, and Hashem, which is also three. Maisa, Dibur, Machshava, which are also three. Action, speech, and thought, the Torah. Okay, so that's the parallel that a person can even elevate his entire self with Torah. And just like the entire body of a person is elevated and purified by occupying himself in Torah and mitzvahs, so to all of the worlds, the entire universe, the entire spiritual universe, all of the worlds, which themselves parallel the height of a person. Right? Because the different parts of a person are also parallel in the different worlds. Different upper worlds is the exact parallel of the height of a man. As we wrote before in chapter 6. So therefore, so as a man purifies himself, so too he purifies all of those worlds. And they also are purified and elevated and reach a higher level. Adam ha-yosher ha-oved amiti, and a person who is a sincere person, a straight person, who serves Hashem in truth, right, he will not distract his mind, he will not let his mind turn, or his thoughts turn, when he's doing the service of Hashem, he will try to keep his mind focused, and will not distract his mind, even to think about purifying his self, or his own soul. When he's doing the service of Hashem, he won't even focus on the purifying of his self. Right? Rather, he will elevate the purity of his thoughts and his intentions upwards. The tikkun ataras ha'ilomus hakadoshim, to purify all of the worlds. Here we're learning a big chiddush, that really this should be the intention. When one is learning Torah, he should have intention. Not only is he purifying himself, he's purifying all of the worlds, the entire, right? That is the skula of the Torah. The Torah has the power to affect entire universal universe, the entire spiritual universe. So that should be our intention, that we want to purify all of the worlds. We want to learn Torah in such a way that we're purifying, we're correcting all of the worlds. We're correcting the entire creation. The whole Maaseh Bereishis, we're correcting with our Limud HaTorah. And this was the whole idea, this was the whole motivation behind the service of our holy forefathers, our holy patriarchs, the Kol HaTzadikim Rishonim, all of the early Tzadikim. They fulfilled the Torah before the Torah was given. Like the Chazal learned in the Posuk, it speaks about Noach when he took animals into the ark. So it says that he took Mina Behema Tahira and Behema She'ena Tahira. He took those animals that were pure, which are the animals that are pure, means the animals that you can use as a sacrifice, you can bring as a korban. And the animals that are not pure means animals you can't use as sacrifice. We know that as a sacrifice you can only use cows and goats and sheep. Those are the animals that are pure. So it says when he brought the animals, he brought those that were pure and those that weren't pure. So if Omru, so the Chazal say, Mikan, Shilovad Noach Torah. Must be that Noach learned Torah. How did he know which animals are pure, which animals aren't pure? Must be he learned Torah. In other words, he was able to grasp Torah, he was able to elevate himself to upper worlds and to grasp the ideas of the Torah. Even though the Torah had not yet been given, he was able to access the Torah. For Omru, that's one Gemara. Then another Gemara in Yuma says, Kiyam Avram Avinu is Kol HaTorah. Avram Avinu himself fulfilled the entire Torah. And it's also brought Bereishis Rabbah, Bamidbar Rabbah, and Tanchuma, etc. Now, Lo Yishayu Metzuvim Bo'isim Kach. Not that they were commanded, because they never received it. Hashem never commanded them the Torah, and Hashem never gave them the Torah. So not that they were commanded and they were doing it because Hashem commanded them, mitzad adin, as an obligation. The fact that Noach, or that Avram, or that Yitzhak and Yaakov kept the Torah, was not that they were commanded, because they weren't commanded. The in came, because had they been commanded, lo ayu ma'amidim chas v'sholom al daitim asagosum, that it would never have occurred to them, had they been commanded. Had the Avos, the holy Avos, been commanded, it would never have occurred to them. Even though they understood, according to the root of their neshamas, they understood that right? They would have understood according to the root. They were very great people, so they understood according to understanding the root of their souls, the necessity sometimes to change or to transgress part of the mitzvahs of Hashem, right? They would not have done it. In other words, right? Yaakov would never have married two sisters, right? And Amram would never have married his aunt. He would never have married his aunt, Yocheved. So therefore, had they received the Torah, then Chas v'Shalom, they wouldn't have broken a single detail of the Torah. Even though they would have understood that really in terms of their own tikkun, they have to transgress certain mitzvahs of the Torah. For instance, there's a prohibition of marrying two sisters, and yet Yaakov married two sisters, and there's a prohibition to marry an aunt, and yet Amram married his aunt. So, if they had been commanded Chas v'Shalom, they would never have transgressed the Torah. Right? But they weren't commanded. And therefore, they just kept the Torah according to what they understood. And therefore, here they saw a need to do differently to what they understood from in terms of their own personal growth, in terms of the shorish of their own neshama, their own spiritual destiny. So therefore, they saw a need to do differently to the Torah. Like mitzad hasagosam b'Torah sichlam, it is only in terms of their grasp, through the purity of their intellect. Right, their own ability to grasp the tremendous remedies, the tremendous spiritual corrections a person does with every mitzvah, throughout the worlds, how the fulfilling of a mitzvah can affect upper forces, upper energies, upper forces, upper and lower forces, and also they understood the great blemish and the great damage and the great destruction a person can do chas v'shalom if they won't keep the Torah and mitzvahs. Right? As they understood the power of Torah and mitzvahs, and therefore they understood why we have to keep Torah and mitzvahs. Not that they were commanded, but they just understood it's a good thing to do to keep Torah and mitzvahs, because they saw the power of Torah and mitzvahs. They saw just exactly what an effect fulfilling of Torah and mitzvahs is, and that's why they kept it. Similarly, Noach brought a korban after he came out of the teva. He came out of the ark. He brought a korban. He brought a sacrifice. So he brought an animal that was tohor. He brought an animal that was a kosher animal for a korban. Because he understood the power and the root in terms of the spiritual root of every single type of animal, every single type of wild animal. He understood exactly where every animal is coming from in terms of its spiritual roots. What sort of force does each animal represent? So he understood that the type of animal that he has to bring as a korban is an animal that's a kosher animal, a tohor animal. Which animals come from a root of holiness? The kriva, that was the animal that he brought. He specifically looked for the animal that comes from its spiritual roots, from something is from kedusha, is from holiness. That's the animal he brought. Whereas which animal, in terms of its soul, comes from the side of contamination? And that's the type of animal he didn't bring, because he understood that Hashem wouldn't want that animal. So Noach was also, he used his Torah insight, his Torah knowledge, to understand the root of the root of each animal, right? Where each animal, what's the force, what's the spiritual source of each animal, and therefore he looked for that animal that would come from the side of kedusha, from holiness, and not the side of contamination, and it's from there that he drew an animal to bring as a sacrifice, just because he wanted to do it in the best possible way. And this is also the pshat we can say when we learn in Bereishis about Chanuch. Right? Chanuch, it says about Chanuch that he walked with Elohim, he walked with Hashem. That's one posuk. Another posuk, a similar posuk, is Elohim Yishalech Noach. Noach walked with Hashem. And also another posuk by the Abbas, Elohim Asher Yishalcha Avo Yisrael Lefonov. Elohim, that my fathers walked before him. Right, so therefore it speaks about the great tzaddikim who walked with Hashem, like Noach and Chanoch, or like Avraham and Yitzhak, who walked before Hashem. So what's the idea of walking with Hashem or walking in front of Hashem? Right, so the name used in all those psukim is Elohim. But the name we use there is Elohim, which is Bala Klichus Kulam, which is the master of all forces. Right? They walked with Elohim. Elohim means the master of all forces. Hainu, which is to say, Shisigu Inyone Akliches Elyonim Matachtoim. They were able to grasp the upper and lower forces. They understood exactly what are the forces that comprise Elohim. They were able to understand what actions they should do that should release those forces. Right? Because Elohim represents all of the forces together. Right, the way Hashem runs the world, was with all of the forces that He has, all the different forces is what keeps the world going, is what runs the world. So therefore, they were able to grasp the forces, and they were able to align themselves with those forces. So they worked with Elohim, they walked with the positive forces, they walked with the good forces, the forces that are beneficial forces. Those forces that determine what happens in the heavens, what happens in the earth, what happens to the different angels who are in charge of different areas of creation. The order of how the world is run and how the worlds are interlinked, and how the worlds are made up of different components. Right? They understood how the actions of man affect all of the worlds. That's what we've been learning all along, is what the Avos understood by themselves, that our actions, our maisim tovim, our good deeds, affect all that happens in the highest of worlds, and right through what happens through all the different worlds, right down into our world. And they lived with that knowledge in order to release the best possible forces into the world. And according to the order, and according to the idea behind each of our actions, that's how they were living their lives. They actually conducted their lives according to the side that's positive. That's what it means that Avram kept the Torah, because he was living Torah ideas in order to release the best possible to the best possible forces into the world and to correct the world as best as possible. According to the way he saw and he understood all the different consequences which would be in the highest of worlds, right, according to the root of his soul. In other words, if his soul, which just comes from a certain root, were to do certain actions, so that would affect upper worlds in such and such way. So that's how he conducted his life. All of these tzaddikim conducted their lives. And therefore, when Yaakov Avinu was able to understand and he understood that according to the root of his soul, and he was able to understand his own personal root, his own personal aspect, which was his soul, that he would create tremendous, it would have a tremendously favorable reaction in the different forces of the universe, in the different worlds, the upper worlds, if he were to marry these two sisters, Rachel and Leah. He understood that this would be a very positive action in terms of the entire spiritual universe. Right? Vehema Yivnu Shteim is based Israel, and the two of them together, working together with him, these two sisters together with him, would build the house of Israel, which is what it was, right? The whole house of Israel comes from Rachel and Leah, right? Because even though there were two otherwise, but they still considered part of Rachel and Leah. They were the assistants of Rachel and Leah. But Rachel and Leah are the two women who built the house of Israel, and he understood all of that with his own insight. So Yoga Kami Agias. So therefore, he put himself to a lot of trouble. We know he worked 14 years in order to marry these two sisters. Right? His father-in-law, instead of giving him a nice check, right, and a mazel tov, he made him work for him 14 years. He worked 14 years in order to marry his two daughters. So he strived and he worked tremendously hard in order to acquire them, in order to acquire these girls as his wife. She inosed her that they should be married to him. And similarly, so it was with Amram. So he married Yocheved, his aunt. She yotzimimena Moshe and Miriam, right, from the shidduch, from the marriage of Amram to Yocheved, which was actually, again, according to the Torah, was a forbidden marriage. Okay, this was before the Torah was given, but according to the Torah, it was a forbidden marriage. This was the marriage that led to the birth of Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, with three big tzaddikim, who took the Jewish people out of Egypt. And this is also one of the reasons why they weren't given the Torah. Hashem specifically did not give the Torah to Noah, and He specifically did not give it to Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Because had they received the Torah, then Yaakov would not have been allowed to marry two sisters. Amram would not have been allowed to marry his aunt. Even though they would have understood that this is the right action for them to take, they would not have done it. Right? And the fact that the Torah wasn't given and they were allowed to do it because the Torah had not yet been given, this itself is what led to the building of the entire house of Israel, which is the chosen people, which would result in the remedying and the correcting of all of the upper and lower worlds. All of that's only possible because Hashem did not give the Torah to Yaakov, and therefore Yaakov was able to marry these sisters, and therefore the Jewish people was able to be built. So that was also part of Hashem's plan in not giving the Torah, was to allow this to happen. Kinyan Mamram Zal, like the sages teach, the Gemara there says, what about Cain? Surely Cain married his sister. Right? Hashem chose to build the world with chesed. When Hashem created the world, He created it with a single couple. So therefore, how could there be children? Would have to be. A brother would have to marry a sister. But that was how Hashem wanted the world built. It had to start with Adam. It had to start with a single person. That means a brother has to marry a sister. Okay. So at that point, the Torah wasn't given, and they were able to create, to perpetuate the world. The world was able to flourish and grow because a brother married a sister. And that was just, that's the basis of the world. So that is also part of Hashem's plan, for whatever reasons Hashem has in orchestrating it in that way. Chapter 22, Perek Chofbeis, our final chapter. Now, from when Moshe came and he brought the Torah down from the heavens to us, from the time that we received the Torah, Moshe brought us the Torah, and then what came into effect is what the sages teach, Lo b'shamayim hi, the Torah is no longer in the heavens. It's no longer in the heavens. So now that someone, let's say a person, you have a very great person, a great personality, you have a big chochem, who has great understanding of the Torah. Let's say you have a great sage who has a tremendous understanding of the Torah. Maybe this such a person will come along. He's a big chochem, he's a Talmud chochem, and he'll say, I can see the reasons, the secrets and the reasons behind the mitzvahs. I can see the upper forces and the upper worlds. And he says, I can see that according to the root of my neshama. Or for someone else he'll say it. He says, I can see for the root of my soul, I can see for the root of someone else's soul. I can see that it's correct to do some avera. It says some great person will come along and he'll say, it is correct according to this person's neshama and according to what Hashem wants for the upper world that this person should do an avera, or that he should ignore some detail of one of the mitzvahs, of one of the ma'asim. To somehow diminish from the mitzvah, or to take away one of the details. He should do the mitzvah, but with one of the details, even one of the rabbanan details, or l'shanus zmanachas v'shalom, or to change the time. He says he sees a reason, maybe he should eat matzah a week before Pesach, or should eat matzah a week after Pesach, whatever it is. If such a person will come, so there, right, now that the Torah has been given by Moshe Rabbeinu, for this very reason, the Torah has now come along and said, there will never be another prophet like Moshe. Right? There never was a prophet, and there never will be another prophet as great as Moshe. Moshe Lamdu Chazal. So this is why the Torah now tells us there's no one else like Moshe, and also the Pasuk says, Eileha mitzvahs, these are the mitzvahs which Hashem commanded Moshe to give to the Jewish people. These are the mitzvahs. These and only these. These are the mitzvahs. She'ein novi reshai l'chadesh dover mi'atzeh. No prophet can come along and institute anything new. No prophet can come and change anything. No matter who he is, no matter how great he is. Right? Once it was given through Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded, these are the mitzvahs and only these are the mitzvahs. And that's it. That's That's once the Torah is given, there's no room for changing anything. No one can come along and say, I understand better. There's no such thing. There's no room for such a thing. Like we have also from the Psukim. Right, we have a pasuk in Dvarim that says there is called Dova she'anochi mitzavei, everything that I've commanded, etc. Lo'yoseif alav, don't add to it. There's the issa of Baal Tosif. The person wants to add to a mitzvah. He wants to wear tzitzis on a five-cornered garment, for instance. So that's a prohibition of the Torah. Lo'yoseif, you're not allowed to add to the Torah. Lo'yosigromim, don't take away from the mitzvahs. We're not allowed to tamper with the mitzvahs at all. This is specifically commanded. Once Moshe gave us the Torah, nothing can be tampered with. Shegam ki yokum bekivucho novi, and even if there will rise in your midst a prophet, let's say a man comes onto the scene and he's a prophet. He tells us exactly what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next week. He can prophesy the future. He's a prophet. He'll tell you the news in a week's time. He'll read to you the front page of the newspaper in 1 week's time. He's a prophet. So if this person will come along, and then you'll say, okay, and therefore, you see I'm a prophet, therefore we have to change this mitzvah like this or that mitzvah like that. Right? He wants to add something to the Torah. He wants to take something away from the Torah. So the Torah tells us about such a prophet. It's written in the Chumash. It tells us that if such a person will come, who is a prophet, the Torah says, "Lo tishma el divrei hanaviim." Do not listen to him. Do not listen to him. Achrei Hashem lokechem telechu. Just go after Hashem. This is a specific command of the Torah. Don't listen to any prophet if he comes to change or tamper with the Torah in any way. Now, an example the other way around. V'hari Chizkiyahu HaMelech. King Chizkiyahu was a tremendous tzaddik. Right? Chizkiyahu HaMelech could have been Mashiach. Shiro b'ruach ha-kodesh. He saw with divine inspiration the nafkin b'nei b'nin d'lei mali. He saw that would come from him a son who was a big rosha. And that was Menashe. He had a son. Chizkiyahu's son was Menashe. Menashe, amongst his many avers, he was over the Avodah Zorah. He filled Eretz Yisrael with the Avodah Zorah. And he killed his own grandfather. Imagine a grandson killing his grandfather. And who was his grandfather? Only Yeshayahu HaNovi. The prophet Yeshayahu was killed by Menashe, who's his grandson. So Chizkiyahu already saw, when he was still unmarried, he saw that there would come from him a son who was a tremendous Rosha. And therefore he didn't want to get married, which is a tremendous sacrifice. He's not getting married because he doesn't want to have such a son. His intention was for the sake of heaven, so that there shouldn't be more Rishoyim in the world. The world doesn't need another Menashe. That was what he was thinking. In nevertheless, Yeshayahu himself ended up being killed by this son. Yeshayahu himself came to Chizkiyahu at the command of Hashem, and he says to Chizkiyahu, "Ki meis ata, you're going to die. You will die. V'loy sichye, and you will not live." He says, "You will die and you will not live." What does it mean? You will die and you won't live. You will die in this world. V'loy sichaye lo ilam labo. We're not interested. What a big tzaddik you are. You will not live in the world to come. Yishum deleya sakta b'piri v'irivya, because you are leaving off one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. The Torah commands a person to have children. And you are ignoring the mitzvah of the Torah to have children, and therefore you will die and you will not live in the world to come. And all of the righteousness of Chizkiyahu would not have helped him 1 centimeter, nothing. Right? All the righteousness of Chizkiyahu would not have helped to bring him into the world to come because he was transgressing the mitzvah of the Torah. He thought to exempt himself from one of the mitzvahs of Moshe's Torah. The Afshukain Ru'o Basogas Ru'a Kotra, and even though he saw this with divine inspiration, and Hashem himself gave him divine inspiration, that he could see that he's going to have such a son who's a Rosha. The Yivkun Mine Ibn Limali, he's going to have the son who is no good. The Gamshiya B'Sheva Altaseh, and also it's called the Sheva Altaseh, it's a mitzvah that you nullify by doing nothing. We know that that type of aver is a less type of aver. A mitzvah that you don't do by just by being passive. He's not getting married. He's not doing anything wrong. He's just not doing what's right. Still, Yeshayahu told him, right, you're losing your will to come for this. Now, what's the reason? How come Chizkiyahu is wrong? Says the Nefesh HaChaim, Ki taime mitzvahs Because the reason for mitzvahs, atachlisim, is in terms of how far it goes, right? There are all sorts of consequences, there are all sorts of ramifications. The person does a mitzvah, there are all sorts, there's a ripple effect. Like you throw a stone into a pond and there's a ripple effect that goes, can go for miles. It's a very, very subtle effect. Maybe you can't even see it with the eye, but it actually has an effect that goes miles and miles. Because the reasons of the mitzvahs to the end, atachlisim, to the end of the mitzvahs, where the mitzvahs actually reach to, lenisgalu adayin l'shum odon v'ilom. There's no person in the world who could see that. Exactly what are the reasons of every one of the mitzvahs? There's no person who sees it. Af l'Moshe Rabbeinu, alav hashalom, even Moshe Rabbeinu could not see how far reaching the mitzvahs are. Even Moshe Rabbeinu could not know that. Rak, the only person who ever knew that was Adam HaRishon. Rak Adam HaRishon koidim achet. The only one who realized how far mitzvahs go in terms of the effect was Adam HaRishon before he sinned. V'hu hayayin. And this is what they speak about. Hu hayayin ha-mashuma v'anobi m'sheish yimei breishis. Right? The Gemara in Brochus speaks about the wine that comes from grapes from the six days of creation. So that wine has been put aside. There's a special wine which is made from the grapes of the 6 days of creation. That wine has been put aside for tzaddikim in the world to come. What does that wine represent? It represents the ability to see the secrets of the Torah. Real reason. The full ramification, the full reason of the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's what that wine represents. Not just wine you drink. It's a certain type of understanding and insight which is represented by this wine. Also the light. We know the light that was created on the first day of creation, which Hashem then put away. That light was also a light that was a light that Adam HaRishon got to use. He got to see with that light, and therefore he could see the reasons of the mitzvahs. But besides Adam HaRishon, no one got to use that light. That light also was hidden away for the world to come. Right? Mabit boim is seifa ilom at seifa. He could see from one end of the world to the other, says Adam HaRishon. What means he could see? What does it mean? He could see from one end of the world to the other. He could see the reasons of the mitzvahs. He could see the ramifications of mitzvahs. He could see the tachlis, the end of each mitzvah. But besides Adam HaRishon, no one knows it. Even Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know. And therefore, it's not for us to tamper with mitzvahs. And it's not for Chizkiyahu HaMelech to make cheshbonos that he shouldn't bring this child into the world. Right? Even though it's a terrible child, that's not your calculation. And Hashem gives us a mitzvah, we do mitzvahs. That's it. We don't ask questions. The Torah itself emanates from a very, very high place, way beyond our thoughts. Me'al kol ha-sogos, beyond any grasp. How could it be that something like this should be grasped by any human being, any human mind? That he should go and tamper with the way of the mitzvah goes, or the times of the mitzvah. No matter how brilliant he is, right? What person could possibly make the slightest alteration to the mitzvahs? Just like Yeshayahu said to Chizkiyahu, he said, listen. He says, if you don't marry, you're in trouble, you're going to die. And he also told him the following statement, "Hadi kivshe derachmona lamalach." The secrets of Hashem, what's it your business? Right? Lamalach, what's it to you? You've got nothing to do with you. The secrets of Hashem are beyond you. That's not your cheshbon. Yeshayahu says, Chizkiyahu, what you've been commanded is what you need to do. That's it. You've got a command to get married, to have children. That's what you have to do. And what suits Hashem to do is what He'll do. You do what you have to do. Hashem will do what He sees He should do, and that's it. It's not for us to make calculations. We just have to do the Rotzon Hashem. Now, Vadaim Kishahaisen of Israel. Now, in the days when there was still prophecy in Israel, Hayanovi Rishai Lechadesh Dovel Yeros Shalavad. Then a prophet, when we did have prophets. Which is first temple period, and a little bit after that as well. When we did have prophets, then a Navi had permission to innovate something just for temporary, as a temporary measure. Af gam lavo al achas mitzvah Hashem, and even to transgress one of the mitzvahs of Hashem as a temporary measure. Kugon, for instance, Eliyahu b'har Karmel. Eliyahu Navi, who brought a sacrifice on Mount Carmel, which was forbidden to bring, sacrifices outside of Yerushalayim. He brought a sacrifice on Mount Carmel, but that was just a temporary measure. It was like a one-time thing. So that there is room for. But this itself is something that the Torah allows for. What Eliyahu did was something that the Torah itself caters for. A love tishmor, and that's a pasuk in Devarim, which says that if there will be a prophet who come, he wants to change one of the mitzvahs as a temporary measure, and he is a prophet of Hashem, so then you must listen to him. Then there's a mitzvah and a command to listen to the Novi. If we have a man that comes who's qualified as a prophet and he does prophesy the future, and according to the Torah he will tell us that as a temporary measure we need to do this mitzvah in a different way, or we need to do this aveira, so then that there the Torah allows for listening to him. If we know he's a prophet and what he's telling us is in a temporary measure, we are commanded to listen to him. Let's just finish the paragraph. Even if he'll tell us in the name of Hashem to transgress a certain mitzvah for a special time, for a special measure in a special situation, as the Chazal teach, with one exception of Avodah Zarah. If he says you have to serve idols, that not. But any mitzvah he tells us to change is a temporary measure, so that the Torah itself commands us to listen to him if he is a prophet of Hashem, and we know that he's a prophet. So there is, that's an exception. That's an exception. So to recap, we are speaking about that when Moshe Rabbeinu brought the Torah from heaven, so then it became impossible to do other than the Torah. As before the Torah was given, it was possible for great tzaddikim to understand that they should use a slightly different path. But all that changed once Moshe brought the Torah from Shemaim, and if Yaakov Avinu would have lived after Moshe brought the Torah from Shemaim, he would not have married two sisters. He would not have made any calculations. And that was the example we brought from Chizkiyahu, that he didn't want to get married because he saw that he's going to have a son who's going to be a big, big Rosha. And for that he was liable to death penalty. Because we don't play with the Torah. We have to do what the Torah says. And that is our strength, is to follow the Torah exactly. Now we mentioned an exception. We mentioned an exception with Eliyahu HaNavi, that if a prophet comes along and he wants to make a change in the Torah temporarily for a special reason, and that's through the command of Hashem. So that was the example with Har Carmel, when he brought sacrifice on Har Carmel, which was a prohibition. It's a prohibition to bring sacrifices outside of the Beis HaMikdash. But it was only a temporary measure. So that's permitted, and temporary measures are permitted if they come from a prophet, as long as they're not idolatry. Continuing in the text, Avaloi Chalila Lechadesh Dova Lekavu Lederis. But not, Chas V'Sholem, not God forbid, to introduce something new and to fix it as a permanent part of the Torah. That's forbidden. Shari Esther, as Achas Mishev Nevias, Esther we know is one of the seven women prophets of Am Yisrael. She was a very, very great woman. She's equated to Sar, Rivka, Rochel and Leah. Very great woman. In Kolze, and nevertheless, Kesheshalcha Lechachomim Kisvuni Ledoiris, she said, write my story for all time. I want my story, the story of Esther, I want it for all time. Heshivua, so the rabbis wrote back, Haluka Sovti Lof Shalishim. They brought a verse from Mishlei that said, it's written, it says in Mishlei, we have to write it threefold. So write it threefold is referring to the conquering of Amalek, and there are already three references to conquering Amalek, twice in the Chumash, and once in the Novi, right, by the story of Shmuel. So the conquering of Amalek is already written in the Torah three times, and it says you shall write it threefold, and therefore there isn't room to write it a fourth time. There's no hint in the Torah that you should write the Megillas Esther. Ad Shemotzula, until eventually they did find a hint in the Torah to write the Megillas Esther. Only once the Torah itself indicated that it wants the story of Esther to be written in the Torah and wants to be incorporated, should be incorporated in the Tanakh. So once they found that the Torah itself, they found a drosha in the Torah itself was telling them, yes, put the story in. They found support from the verses, then Esther was incorporated in the Torah. But otherwise they were ready to reject it, even though it was written with Ruach HaKodesh, with divine inspiration. And similarly the candles of Chanukah, certainly there also they found a source from the verses, and before Shem bring, that's this week's Parsha, Baal Yisro, right, the way it speaks about Aaron lighting the candles. There's a hint also to the candles of Hanukkah. V'ayin b'midrash ha'evi ha'ramban b'parshas Balischo mishem Rabbeinu Nissim Gon zo. And from the time that through our sins prophecy ceased to be in Israel, if today, even if all the sages of Israel will gather together, if the greatest sages who live were to gather together, who are already experts, let's say we've got the top sages who are experts in the Kabbalah, in terms of they know Ma'aseh Bereishis, which is one area of Kabbalah, and they know Ma'aseh Merkava, the divine chariot, the creation and the divine chariot. Those are the two areas in Kabbalah. Yamiku hasagosum, and they will think very deeply. V'toyas sichlam, they'll use the purity of their seichel l'shonus al eza prat mi'eza mitzvah. They'll use their seichel and they'll think it deeply and they'll work it out and they'll calculate and they want to change some small detail of a certain mitzvah. Or they want to make a certain mitzvah a little bit earlier than its proper time, or a little bit later. They want to make it a little bit longer after its proper time. Chas v'shalom. We, Am Yisrael, will not listen to them and will not agree to accept their words. Ach v'bas kol amru. And moreover, this is a story in Bava Metzia. Even if a heavenly voice comes out and says that the law is so, such and such, right? There was the famous dispute between Rav Yeshua and Rav Eliezer, and the sages decided with Rav Yeshua, and then a heavenly voice came out and said, but the loch is like Rav Eliezer. So there, the Rabbonim said, it's not dependent on the heavens. There are rules of Psak. The rules of Psak are with us. The way we paskin to Haloch is with us. It's not in the heavens, and therefore these are the rules of the Torah, and we don't play around with the rules of the Torah at all. Zero. V'adayin bimei chochmei Talmud, and still in the days of the sages of the Talmud, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, Hayurshoim, the Chadish, Mitzvahs, the Rabbonin, they were still able to innovate rabbinic decrees. Kishamotz smach mi'atayin, when they found some sort of hint from the Torah and they saw a need to make a certain rabbinic decree. Kagoin, Neris Chanukah, Kiyoitze, for instance, like Neris Chanukah. To make different enactments. Kmo Yud Chesdova speaks in Shavs about the 18 enactments they made to specifically to deal with laws of Truma and Tumantara. So there the sages still had power to make certain rabbinic enactments. However, once the Talmud was sealed, once the Gemara was sealed, you know, at a certain point after Rav Asi sealed the Talmud, we can't add to the Talmud. You can't say, well, I want to add some stuff to the Gemara. No, once it was sealed, anu ein lona ele lishmor v'nasuiz k'kol akosu b'tei akadusha. For us, all that there is for us is to guard and to fulfill all that's written in the Torah, in the Holy Torah, shebichsavu b'alpeh, in the written Torah, in the oral Torah, k'chol mishpotum, all the statutes, all the laws, hukosum, bizmanum, prateim, diktukeim. Keep the law as accurately as possible, to the best of our ability, in the time, with the details, with all the diktukim, all the fine details. Blina tois mehem natia kolduhu, without turning from them, without swaying from them, even my hair's breadth. Ish Yisrael karoi, and when a person will fulfill the mitzvahs as is fitting, he'll do it to his best of his ability. Even though he doesn't have the highest intentions, he does the Maisa Mitzvah, even though in terms of his Machshovas, he doesn't have proper Kavonas, proper intentions. Even though he doesn't know the reasons of the Mitzvahs, he's just a simple Yid, but he's keeping the Locha as he knows it should be kept. And even though he doesn't know the reasons for the Mitzvahs, the Soidus Kavonosim, and the secrets of the intentions, because that's a lot of what the writings of the Rizal deal with, is what sort of intention should you have when you do this mitzvah, and what intention do you have when you do that mitzvah. And you have a simple Yid, he doesn't know intentions, he doesn't know secrets, he doesn't know Kabbalah. He calls in his kaim ha-mitzvahs. Nevertheless, he fulfills the mitzvahs. He will be fixing the worlds. He will be fixing the worlds. He'll be increasing the holiness. And he'll be bringing the light. right? According to every mitzvah in its time, according to its source, according to its context, Mutan Oizle Elokim Yisbarach Shmoy, and he will be empowering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And we're going to see in a minute, because the Ikka is Maisa. The Ikka in terms of us is the action. And action is the lowest part of our body, but that's really the objective. The objective is the lowest part, is sanctified. We spoke before about how the Kedusha goes from the horns to the hooves. But it's the hooves that's the Ikka. Now, if we can take the very lowest part of Olam HaZen, we can elevate it to a higher level. That is the greatest accomplishment of all. And that's what gives power to Hashem. We take the lowest elements, which is Maisa. Maisa is the lowest elements, and we're able to elevate it. That is really the objective. Shekein kova bo yisbor shmoi tivom shloilomis. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu fixed the nature of the worlds. She's nagu al yedei maisei ha'odom. That the worlds, the upper worlds, are all directed by the actions of a person. V'chol mitzvah, and every mitzvah, hi ha'oilom mi'atzma lifoil pulosam yuchad lo. Every mitzvah, every action that we do, every mitzvah that we do, goes up to the highest of worlds to effect the effects that it can affect. Doing a mitzvah lishmo certainly puts a person on a different level. And learning Torah certainly puts a person on a different level. But the main aspect of Torah is the maisa. Lishmo is just like boosts the whole thing. Just puts it onto a different level. But the main action, the essence, the ikka, is the maisa. U'misha zikau yisbor shmoi. The final paragraph of Shar Aleph. And someone who Hashem has given him the merit, Lahasig Nistoris Terasein HaKadosha, to grasp the secrets of the Holy Torah. Someone who has been given access to this. Right? Someone who's had the extra merit that he can grasp the secrets of the Torah. Asher Hishiru Lanu Brocha Kadisha Elyonim Chochmei HaTalmud, which is a special inheritance that was left for us, for holy individuals, very, very lofty holy individuals, the sages of the Talmud. Kagoyin, for instance, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai V'Chaverov, Shin Bar Yochai and his friends, the Talmid of his students, the Shoshoisi Memeimov, the Deus Achrenin, Kumarava Kodesh, Ishelokim Leir Arizal, and those who drank from their waters. In other words, the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai left us the Zoya, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai and his students left us the Zoya and the different parts of the Zoya, right? The Zoya Chodosh, whatever it is, they're all different, the Tikkunei Zoya, the different writings of the Zoya. So that's from Rashbi. And then there were those who drank the waters of the work of the Rashbi, that's the Chochmei Deir Sachreinim, the sages of later generations, like the holy Arizal, right? Even though he only lives like about 500 years ago, with tremendously high level, tremendous insight into the whole Zohar. She'iru enenu b'ktsas taimei kavonos ha'mitzvos, that they, with their writings, have enlightened our eyes. They've lit up our eyes through showing us the reasons of the different intentions of the mitzvahs. So what about all that? What about the study of the secrets of the Torah? So the place for that is Rakshis Boinen kol echod lefisichle vasagosu, that each one of us should be thinking according to the grasp of his intellect. That's for us to be thinking with our intellect. Ad heichen megiin kol prate maisa v'diburav machshavusov, to where, how far are the details of our actions and of our speech and of our thoughts? We call inyonov ba'ulomis, how far our actions and speech and words, which are our mitzvahs, does reach in upper worlds. Ba'kuyches elyoin, in what forces it does release, upper forces and lower forces. Bispail v'soir mizeh, and this would excite a person and arouse a person, inspire a person, la'asus l'kayim kol mitzvah, to fulfill each mitzvah. We call inyone avoidosa leboyis balshmoy, all of the matters of serving a Kodesh Bohu, but tachlis hadiktuk, with absolute precision, ube'ema, ube'yiro, ube'ava, to do it with fear, with awe, and with love, avatsuma, with awesome love, bekadusha v'taras alev. Now, all of this will help to boost our performance. If we know these things, so that can excite us, it can inspire us, and then we can do it with more excitement, with more inspiration, which also is boosting our mitzvahs, just doing it with more love, and with more fear, and with more respect, and with more awe. So that's the objective of these teachings. And through this he will make greater
corrections in the upper worlds, right? Through knowing the secrets of the Torah, through knowing what the Torah says, to know the reasons of the Torah. Where, as opposed to someone who did the mitzvah without the purity and holiness of his, of the proper intent, of having the proper intent of doing lishmo, etc. Amnam, however, and here he concludes, ha'ika b'chol mitzvahs ne'kuva, the main part of every mitzvah which does prevent one from fulfilling his obligation, are the details of the actual action of fulfilling the mitzvah. Because the ikkah of the mitzvah is the performance of the mitzvah. Doing the mitzvah according to the halacha, with all of its details in the correct way, right, with the Shulchan Aruch, with the Mishnah Berurah, etc., doing the halacha properly, that is what counts as a mitzvah. And if you don't have that, you don't have a mitzvah. Thereafter, if you add on to that intentions, and you add knowledge, and you add inspiration, and you do it with more love, and you do it with more respect, etc., all of that multiplies, and all of that makes it much, much more. But if you don't have the basic mitzvah with all of its details, so then you don't have anything. And that's the ikkah. Okay, with that we finish Shar Aleph.